Every time of the year has its own unique shilas. I guess the Lahavdil Thanksgiving weekend is no different. So usually I've been trying the last couple of weeks to follow up with some of my shayla that I got over the course of the last week. The last Thursday, I got a frantic shayla from somebody. Last Thursday was Thanksgiving. So somebody called with the following shayla, that they had gone away with their extended family somewhere, a place out of town, and they had brought their own turkey along and everything, all stuffing, everything along. The one thing they forgot to bring a knife, cut the turkey. So they were going to go to a regular store and buy, find the store that was open the pre-Black Friday hours of the day. They were going to buy a knife, carve the turkey, and they came to the realization there was no Kelim Mikvah around. The shayla was, now what? What do you do next? So can you possibly figure out a way to use a knife that wasn't toiveled? Of course, my great knowledge of carving turkey, so I didn't understand what's wrong with a plastic knife, so they immediately told me that that's not good enough. Why? A Rav has to know the Metzias also before he ends the shayla. So I thought we would use this as a little bit of a springboard to talk about a general shayla, about when you find yourself in a situation that it's just practically not feasible to do tefillas kelim, is there any permissibility to use the kli that wasn't tovel, particularly if there's no mikvah around, other extenuating circumstances. So the sugya begins with the first of the Maimakomos, in Maseches Beitzah and Daf Yedzayin and Beis. The Gemara is talking about tefillas kelim on Shabbos. We actually, last night in the shiur, we spoke about it from a little bit of a different angle in the Orat Torah shiur. But tonight we're talking about it. The Gemara Maseches Beitzah tells us that one is not allowed to tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. There are actually four different reasons that are given by the Gemara. It's the fourth reason that's most relevant for us. Kuliyama miyas kli b'Shabbos lo, that one is not allowed to tovel kli on Shabbos according to everybody. My time, what's the reason? Rav Om Nesha Nirikim Asachin kli, because it looks like the person is fixing something that is broken. Before one toveled it, one couldn't use it. Now one's toveling it, so that's a little bit reminiscent of the Melacha Machpatatish. Well, last that year, in our Torah, we spoke about why it's not Melacha Machpatatish Deraisa, but whatever it is, at worst, it's only the Dirabon. It's Nirikim Asachin, Nirikim Asachin, the Patish. There is a Machlekes in Rishonim, but if this Gemara is even talking about what we call Tefillas Kelim today, the Gemara is commenting on the Mishnah day, which is talking about Tefillas Kelim Mishum Tuma. In the olden days, when people laid things, the Tara, Truma, Mashani, Karchim, etc., all the Kelim had to be Torah. So before you could eat your Karbanas, before you could eat your Truma or Mashani, you have to be Tovel the pots and pans and the silverware. So when you want to Tovel something which is Tame, I can understand that's a Tikkun Kli, because a pot that wasn't tovel, but tomei, it's broken, because you can't use it for truma, you can't use it for karbanos. And if you do, it's going to ruin the truma, it's going to be metame the truma, so it's really, really broken, at least halachically. Now, she'ain came, tefillas kelim that we have today, which the Mishnah speaks about at the end of Avodah Zarah, the mitzvah of toveling kelim that were bought from a non-Jew, that's a different type of tefillas kelim. There's no tumah involved. The kli is going to become tummy in a second later. As soon as they take it out of the mikvah device, it's going to become tummy. Everything is tummy. We're all tummy maces, man, as that. The reason why we tovel kelim b'zman hazeh, Mishnah tells us, as a special mitzvah, the Raisa, the Rabbanon, any kli that was ever owned by a non-Jew, it was manufactured by a non-Jew, it was owned at one time by a non-Jew, there's a requirement to tovel it before one uses it. So that din, according to many Rishonim, is not Mishum Tikkun kli. There's nothing broken with the kli. There's nothing tummy about the kli. Proof positive, by mistake, if you had cooked in a pot that wasn't tovel, the soup is kosher with the evet. You don't have to throw out the food. It's not like the truma that became not usable anymore. So there are many Rishonim who say that this Isser of Tefillas Kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov doesn't really apply to this man as that. It only applied in the olden days when they were doing Tefillas Kelim Mishum Tuma. Our Tefillas Kelim is not really a tikkun in the classic sense of the word. And other Rishonim say no. That even our Tefillas Kelim is a tikkun, because what am I saying? Not allowed to use the kli. Bottom line is, whatever the longest is, what am I saying? Not allowed to use the kli till you tovel it. So you're taking a kli that's not usable and rendering it usable. That's called a tikkun kli, and that would be a problem if there are about a nirkim b'sachin kli. That's what our practice is. At Shulchan Aruch, we follow the practice not to tovel kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So our kelim mikvahs should be off limits, should be closed on Shabbos and Yom Tov. In deference to those who show them the say, but that would be problematic. The pasha is not mukta, if you could use it for something else. Let's say, for example, it's a bowl, a glass or something. You could theoretically put something into it, but you can put your something else into it, but other things, not food items, into it. So it's probably not really a mukta. So the Rishonim discuss a scenario, what if you have a person who realized that they hadn't toveled their kelim, now they sit down Friday night, sit down Yom Tov night, and gavalt, they're not allowed to tovel their kelim, because we're not to tovel kelim and Shabbos and Yom Tov. What do you do? So the second of the Maimakomos, the Mordechai, Maseches Beitzah, writes, Misha shachach lo hitlu kli mi'ev Shabbos erev yontif. If a person forgot the tovel kelim either for Friday afternoon or erev yontif, so he has the following suggestion. Yitin ha'kli lo'ayvi kichav min matana. You should give the kli to a goy as a gift. Now, at first glance, that, yeah, we'll get that in a second. At first glance, that sounds like the worst thing to do. The whole idea of Tulis Kelim was to get it away from the goy. So what are we giving it back to the goy for? Well, we'll see in a minute. The Yachsav shall let him met him. And then you should ask the goy to please let me borrow the kli. So now the kli belongs to a goy. The Havali Kishom min Avi Kichavim the Amper Akeid B'Sechet V'Rezar the Ein Tzarech Tfila. The Gemara is a Chiddush. We'll see in a moment. The Gemara V'Rezar is a Chiddush that Tfilas Kelim only applies if it's now a Jewish owned kli. If it's still owned by a goy, then there's no mitzvah Tfilas Kelim. So in order for Tfilas Kelim to apply, two conditions have to be met. First of all, it has to be at one time owned by a goy, either made by a goy or owned by a goy, somewhere along the way. And number two, it has to now belong to a Jew. If either one of those two conditions are missing, then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. So in theory, if there's a goy who has kosher pots and pans, I'm allowed to use them. There's absolutely no mitzvah at all, not minatar, not minarban, or nothing. There's nothing wrong with using the goy's kelim if they're kosher, even though they weren't tovel. We do this. If it was manufactured by a Jew and it was bought by a Jewish store and everywhere along the way it was owned by a Jew, then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. If you buy something from Eretz Yisrael, so then assuming that it was Jewish owned from beginning to end, then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. You have to be careful with that because there are certain things that are bought from Jewish stores, even in Eretz Yisrael, that were actually made in other places. Very often with the chal knives. Very many people think, oh, you buy a knife in Eretz Yisrael, what could possibly be wrong? And then you look in the back of the knife, it says made in England. So we have to be careful. Not everything that was made in Israel is necessary. Not everything that was bought in Israel is necessarily made in Israel. So here the Mordechai gives us an etzah that you can almost circumvent the mitzvah tefillas kelim by giving it off to a goy as a gift and then re-borrowing it back from the goy. And hocus pocus, there's no mitzvah. There wouldn't be any requirement to tefillas kelim. We rely on this. Let's say you have a non-Jewish owned restaurant. If it's under hashgacha, so if it's owned by goyim, then there's no mitzvah tefillas kelim. If it's a Jewish restaurant, the kelim have to be tefillah. But if it's a goyish restaurant, as long as all the kelim are kosher, it's under reputable hashgacha, there's no mitzvah at all, not even lechatchila, no chumer at all to tefillah the kelim. Tefillas kelim only applies if the kelim are now biyad ha-Yisrael. So the Mordechai uses this trick, so to speak, this eitzah to get around the mitzvah tefillas kelim. But as was pointed out a moment ago, wait a second, isn't this another problem? The Mordechai is recommending to give a gift to the non-Jew on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Doesn't that smack of another problem? That's a problem of buying and selling. That's a problem of transactions on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Oh, so even though it's not buying literally for money, but just the mere giving of a matana on Shabbos and Yom Tov, the Pashas is also. We assume that any types of transferring of ownership on Shabbos and Yom Tov is problematic. It's all included in the general issur called Nekecha Memker in Shabbos. The Mishnayos, the Gemaras, and Shabbos speak about Mekecha Memker. You're not allowed to do any kind of business transactions on Shabbos and Yom Tov for a variety of reasons. Rashi in writes two different reasons for this issur. One is based on the Psukim of the Navi Yeshayom, and so Chetzcha V'Davar Davar. The Navi speaks in very strong terms about people who are doing their business, keeping their stores open on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Even if you do it in a way that doesn't violate any malacha, just the mere doing business in Shabbos and Yom Tov is a violation of the Psukim and Navi from Tzachet Chavadavid Davar. And then Rashi says, Oh Yesh Loimar, buying and selling on Shabbos and Yom Tov is Asar, Gezeir Mishum Ksiva. We're afraid you may come to write down, because since it's very common to write when you do a business, so there's a general all encompassing Gezeir called Gezeir Shem Yichtov. So we assume the halacha, the Rishonim write, that Isser of Mekchel Memker applies to Matanas as well, which is a big problem. So how could the Mordechai permit this? That's a further shaila. That's a big machlokes of Rishonim. Are you allowed to be mafke something on Shabbos and Yom Tov? That's a big one. So we'll see in a second what the heter is. We'll see in a second. So the starting point is you're not allowed to buy and sell on Shabbos and Yom Tov. You're not allowed to give gifts on Shabbos and Yom Tov. So everybody jumps in the Mordechai and says, well, wait a second, the Mordechai just told you to do it. So the answer must be, there must be certain extenuating circumstances that permit one to at least give gifts on Shabbos and Yom Tov. What are the extenuating circumstances? It must be it's some kind of a makom mitzvah. Must be some kind of a makom tzarech Shabbos. So whatever is considered to be a quasi makom mitzvah, a quasi tzarech Shabbos, so apparently the isser of matanos was lifted. We are buying and selling was not lifted, but the isser of matanos was lifted. So that's what all the Echaredim quote this Mordechai Halach, and that's what we follow today. That's why, as matters that we do it all the time, We do give gifts on Shabbos. You know, you go to somebody's house for Shabbos, you bring them a bottle of wine, so that's okay, provided that that's the Tzorech Shabbos, provided that they're going to use the bottle of wine. If you know that they're not going to use the bottle of wine, then Taka, you really shouldn't bring it as a gift. But if you suspect, you hope, they'll be nice, they'll be polite, they'll use the bottle of wine, so then it's okay, because that's considered the Tzorech Shabbos, Tzorech Mitzvah, and Shabbos, so that would be all right. So that's what the base of the Mordechai is as well. But just time to give gifts on Shabbos and Yontif are problematic. That's why we do when we give bar mitzvah gifts all the time in the shul. The kid comes up, I present them the Mishnah Berurah. So the question is the kid really going to read it? If he'll open up that Mishnah Berurah and start tagging away, you know, right after Kiddush and learning at Mishnah Berurah, that would be wonderful. But oh yeah, he's got to wrap it first. Yeah, the odds are it's probably not going to happen. Most probably he's going to put it together with the other six Mishnah Berurahs that he got. So what's the hetzer for that? So there is no hetzer. So what the poskim recommend is that you should actually be mezakeh it to the shalach from before Shabbos. So what we try to do in our shul, when I remember, is that Friday afternoon, I'll pick up the Mishnah Berurah and I'll hand it to somebody and say, you have in mind to be zeich on this for this bar mitzvah bachur, and then it technically belongs to him all along. Every once in a while, I will forget. So what I do is as follows. If I forget, so then the poskim say, b'shas ochach, I give it to the child, but I have in mind that I'm not really giving it to him yet. I'm lending it to him now. And after Shabbos, he can be zeich on it. So it's not yet to be determined that's going to be a matana. Again, getting back to our story. So the Mordechai came up with this idea. We got around the Shabbos and Yontif problems of matanos. And the Mordechai sanctioned this idea that since it belongs to the guy, technically it's all right. How did the Mordechai know that a kli that belongs to a guy that was borrowed by a Jew is all right? So he referred to the Gemara in the third of the Mamakamos, in Masechet Avodah Zarah, in Ayin Heim and Beis. Amr of Nachman, Amr Rabba Vua, Lo Shanu, Ella Belekuchu Nechamayisha Shehoya. He says that when is there a mitzvah, Filat Kelim? That's only if you buy the Kli from the Goy, like the story of Parshas Matos, which is the source for the mitzvah, Filat Kelim, when the Jews actually, they didn't actually buy it, they actually conquered the Kelim from the Goyim. But then the Torah gives us the mitzvah, Filat Kelim. So Rav Nachman tells us the mitzvah is only when it comes to the Yad Yisrael. If it's borrowed from a Goy, then not. So we shouldn't misunderstand that line of the Gemara. The Gemara makes it sound like the Kli is not yours, it's only borrowed, it's okay. So Tosfos is quick to point out, the next item I'm going to come, before, Omer ben Shmuel, Yisrael sheshol Kli me Yisrael chaveiro, shekan mi avikachom tzarech tefillah. He says, if I borrow a Kli from another Jew, of course that requires tefillah. Kevin shebali dechiyo b'yad Yisrael rishon, since the first Jew is obligated in tefillah kelim, I'm borrowing from a Kli that's already chayav. The only time we say that a borrowed kli is exempt from tefillah kelim, that's if I'm buying from a goy. Goy is not chayef, so I'm coming to koach the goy, I'm not obligated to tefillah kelim. But if I'm borrowing from Reuven, who should have covered with kelim, just didn't get around to doing it, so that's still a problem even for me. Yeah, but easy coming to go. I mean, when I owned it, it was chayef, but once I give it back to the goy, the chayef is koach. I mean, whatever you want to call it, the chiyuv is on the chiyuv to tovel any kli that was manufactured or owned by a non-Jew that's biyadi Yisrael now. That, those are the two criteria. That's the one time owned by a non-Jew and now is owned by a Jew. Either one of those conditions are lacking, then the mitzvah tefillah kelim doesn't apply. So if the kli was made by a non-Jew, it's owned by a Jew, it's just not my kli. I borrowed it from my next door neighbor, that I'm still chayvin tefillah kelim. I have to take care of that. There is a big machlekes aposkim about how does this particular prop, this particular detail play out. It's a very, very common shaila. If the person invites you to the house, and again, assuming that all the other standards of kashrus are all right, but you know that they weren't tovel at Kalim. Well, you allowed to eat on a kli that wasn't tovel. On the one hand, maybe one should argue that it's not my kli, it's not my problem. On the other hand, but Tosfos just said that even if it's not your kli, if it's borrowed, that's also a problem. So some achronim want to suggest that Tosfos only said if you actually borrow the kli, that you're actually responsible for the kli. Namely, if I go and I ask you, can I please borrow your set of silverware? Well, then I'm chayav in tefillah kelim. Because if something happens to that silverware, I'm going to be held responsible. If I'm a guest in your house, and I'm drinking it from a glass, if I drop the glass, are you going to take me to court? You're going to take me through the entire? You're not going to sue me for the broken glass, I hope. So come, some achronim and right, I'm not even a shoyel. I'm a nothing. I'm a zero. I have no shaychas to this kli. So there's nothing per se usher about using a kli that wasn't tovel. The chiyuv of tefillah kelim is either on the owner or on the borrower. But if I'm eating in somebody's house as a guest, I'm nishkin hoder, nishkin borrower. So maybe it's okay. Maybe there's no chiyuv of tefillah kelim. That big chiddush. We sometimes have to rely on this chiddush in situations of kiruv. There's a very, very common shayla. Sometimes you have a young man, a young woman is starting to become frum, and they're they start to kasha their parents' kitchen, and usually the last thing to happen is tefillas kelim. So yeah, everything else is kosher, but the mice can't have happened in tefillas yet. You're going to tell the kid he can't eat in his parents' house. So we have to rely on these poskim who say that the chiyuv of tefillas kelim is either on the owner or on the borrower, but a guest is not chayev, and a kid in their parents' house is mamash a guest. It's not even a borrower, it's mamash a guest. If the kid breaks something, the parent hopefully is not going to take the kid to court. But we assume that the Shas of Chagodo, we can even permit under these kind of circumstances to actually eat from Kalim that weren't Teufel. So again, so now we have a little bit of a background as to if you have this unique situation of Erev Shabbos and Erev Yom, and you didn't get around to go to the mikvah, so the Mordechai came up with the suggestion to circumvent Tefillas Kalim by handing off the kli to the goy and then borrowing it back from him. So the Shulchan Aruch in the fifth of the Mamakomos quotes this solution, quotes this Eitzah from the Mordechai, but then he adds on to it a little bit. The Shulchan Aruch writes in the fifth of the Mamakomos, "Mshachach lo hikul kli me'ev Shabbos or Erev Yontif." The person forgot to do Tefillas Kalim on Friday or Erev Yontif. You never give him a matana. You should give it to the non-Jew as a gift. The chaykach he shall lend him imenu. Then you borrow it back. And then you're allowed to use it. Now the Ramo adds, "Hago v'chein yase afilu b'chol." Says the Ramah, just as this solution works in the extenuating circumstances of Shabbos and Yom Tov, even though there is a mikvah across the street, your thing is I'm not allowed to use it because we paskin that you're not allowed to have a kelim on Shabbos and Yom Tov. Says the Ramah, conceptually, what's the difference whether the mikvah is closed because it's Shabbos and Yom Tov, or I'm in the middle of the summer where there's no mikvah? So if a person finds themselves in a situation where there is no mikvah available, even though it's Tuesday afternoon, so we could theoretically title it, but the mice are practically, there's no mikvah around. The Ramah writes, well, it's the same idea, it's the same extenuating circumstance. I have to use the kli, and the male, I can pull off the same stunt. I give it to the non-Jew, and then the non-Jew lends it back to me. The Chora, this solution seems to be the beginning of an answer for this person who's calling me hysterical on last Thursday afternoon. He's got his turkey. He had to go to the store and buy a knife. The knife wasn't toivled. What eitzah can I give? So I suggested we should follow what it says in the Shulchan Aruch, follow what it says in the Ramah. Let him find the non-Jew, give it to the non-Jew as a gift, and ask the non-Jew to borrow back the knife. That was a suggestion that I gave. So great. Well, I didn't hear from him afterwards, but I assume that everything worked out smoothly. But one has to be a little bit careful when one relies on this kind of a kula of, in a sense, giving it. Okay. We'll see what's going to happen afterwards. Now, we would like to find the non-Jew who we could trust on this one. You know, we don't want to give the carving knife to the non-Jew who walks away when it takes it to his turkey. That's the last thing we want to happen. We want to have a little bit of wink-wink. You know, he understands what's going on. It's like we have to find the guy who knows how to do Mechiras Chametz with us. So we need them to give it back to us. That's true. But then, in the sixth of the Mamakomos, the Taz puts another condition on this stunt. Says the Taz, in the sixth of the Mamakomos, nearly the Haiti Kuna Eino Elfish Shaw. That's the Taz. You can't do this forever. But if you think about it conceptually, it's a great way to get out of Tefillas Kelim. Why do I have to bother building a Kelim mikvah? I'll buy all my Kelim from the grocery store, give it to the babysitter as a gift, borrow it back, and show my show for the next 20 years. I'll be using the Kelim. So if it works for Shabbos, and it works for Thursday afternoon when there's no Kelim mikvah around, then why doesn't it work indefinitely? What's the problem? The Taz says, again, it's not going to work. It's Pasha's not ownership. Pasha says if I rented, it probably wouldn't make a difference. If it's owned by the guy, it wouldn't make a difference. Probably doesn't make a difference. So comes the Taz and says, nearly the Haitikuna in Elafisha. This stunt is only going to work for an hour. It doesn't mean literally an hour, but it means temporarily. The Haidula Oso Shabbos, it'll work for that Shabbos. Oh, b'chol kol zman she'ein lo mikvah. It'll work on a Tuesday afternoon, or Thursday afternoon, kol zman, there's no mikvah around. But if you live across the street from the kehil mikvah, and Shabbos is over, you have to tell your kli. Oh, she is damin lo mikvah. Or if you luck out and you find a mikvah, you have to. Why? What's the svar? Logically, it doesn't make sense. I mean, somehow intuitively we realize the Taz must be right. Otherwise, why are we wasting money building kehil mikvahs? We should all do the stunt and finish. So somehow we realize that the Taz must be right, but in terms of pure conceptual halachically, why is he right? What's the difference between giving it to the goy for an hour and borrowing it for an hour, borrowing it for the next 20 years? And the Taz brings the following mashal. He says, He says, if the Jew takes this knife back and continues to use it, not just Thanksgiving, used it Friday, Shabbat, Sunday, for the next 10 years, he says, then who are we kidding? What kind of joke is that? You're borrowing it from the goy. Of course, you're not borrowing from the goy. Of course, you brought it back from the goy. It gives you a whole kind of a raya from a mashko, from a collateral, complicated dinner. Okay, we'll leave out the mashal for now. He says it must be. It has to be this way. But then if we skip down a little bit,
But the Taz is convinced it's not going to work.
This thought is not going to work. But now, if you go back to the end of the Taz, it's the second to last line. Somehow, intuitively, he felt that was a din. You have to title it if you're holding on to it for a long period of time. And he's giving you mishalim from, it's like lakeach, and it's like a mashka, and that, aval. He admits at the end of the second to last line, aval, kevin she'ein demufush b'poiskim. Says it's not explicit in the poskim, this distinction between short term versus long term. He says to tell somebody with absolute certainty to table this kli, it's hard to say, because at the end of the day, the kli really truly belongs to the guy. So one could argue, what's the difference between 1 minute or 20 years? So the Taz says, I think he has to table it. I'm pretty sure he has to table it, but I'm not 100% sure. Therefore, table it without a bracha, or try to find another kli to accompany it so that we can make a bracha on one of the kelim, the path of the world. So this hesitation of the Taz now becomes very important for us. We're following potentially extrapolating to what we spoke about. So this particular shaila, we're done with the shaila of the week. In terms of, that was okay. I think what we told him was correct, that to use the knife on Thursday and just cut and shine him, and I told him when you get home, to type of the kli, good, fine. That's all right. I heard this also. I've heard it. I've seen. I know people years ago. There used to be this. I don't want to call it a myth, but there was this idea floating around. I heard it that if there's no mikvah around, so you run it under the faucet three times and shine. Between you and me, I don't think it does anything in terms of pure halacha, but it probably was, I'm guessing, that quote-unquote, I don't want to even call it a minute, but that practice that existed in some places, which again, I heard about also, probably was based on this. Probably there was no kelim mikvah around. Years ago, it's hard to have regular mikvah, so there were no kelim mikvahs around. So me'ikir adin, maybe you could argue, you don't have to feel as kelim, whatever cheshbon is you have, but it's almost like shlo tishtakech, Torah feel as kelim. It's like, it's like Nebuch, like otherwise people are going to forget. So they came up with this idea. That's my guess as to where that idea came from. But again, it's not really an official formal minhag that was sanctioned by the Talmud. The question is, what if you have a scenario where it's not that it's Shabbos, so I can't toggle now, but I'll toggle in a few hours from now. It's not like I'm stuck out of town, there's no kilometer, but I'm going to come home and I'll toggle it. What if I have a kli that's perpetually in a dilemma of not being able to be toivel? Why can't I toivel? What's wrong with being toivel? It's a type of a kli that's too risky to toivel it. It's going to break if I toivel it. But now what's the din? To tell a person what if it's an electric kli? If it's a certain type of an electric kli, again, this gets very, very tricky depending on who you ask in terms of this. Some people will tell you that it's okay, and other people will tell you it's going to break, and certain kelim will break, certain kelim won't break. And I don't want to go through the details right now, but let's say, that you would have a kli that says in big bold letters, do not immerse in water, and if it does, it's going to break. It's going to break. The question is, now what do you do? So am I allowed to use the kli? I'm tovel it. So there was a big machlokes a poskim. Some poskim said, it's inconceivable that the halacha should require of you to tovel something that's going to break. How can it be such a thing? It doesn't make any sense. The Rav Hashem would give us a din. The Chum would institute a din like that. It's not shaykh such a din. So it must be that you put it from Tfilas Kehel. It must be that a kli that will not be able to survive the mikvah is not chayv in Tfilas Kehel in the first place. That's what some poskim said. And other poskim said, it's not true. Don't tovel it because it's going to break. So don't use it. Other poskim said, you have no right to use it. You're not allowed to use a kli that wasn't tovel. So you're going to catch 22. If you can't tovel it, so don't tovel it. But also don't use it. So some poskim said, no, if you can't tovel it, then you can use it. Another poskim said, if you can't tovel it, then you can't use it, and you're stuck. So what should we do about this? So maybe one can come up with the following solution. Maybe what we should do is as follows.
According to one group of poskim, it's hetakom. You could use the kli. You don't have to worry about it. The tovel, you don't have to be concerned. But we're a little bit worried. We're a little concerned about this. So maybe we could combine the following. Maybe we should do is, if I have this, whatever it is, this urn, this toaster, whatever the particular kli in question is, that's going to get ruined, presumably from the water. Maybe what I should do is very simple. Sell it to a goy. Give it as a gift to a goy. And ask the guy to borrow it back. Because Kol Zman that you do that, so then technically speaking, there's no chinuch tefillas kelim. That sounds like a great idea. Sounds like a great solution. What's the problem with that solution? The Taz. The Taz just said the solution works for 5 minutes. It doesn't work forever. Well, maybe we don't follow the Taz. Let's not forget, the Taz himself wasn't so sure we should follow the Taz. Remember, the Taz was really sure that he was right, that he would have told you to type it with a bracha. And he hesitated. He backpedaled to the end. And he says, "Ain zemu furish b'paiskim." Not so poshut. One can argue that in Ochanami, the Taz is not right. Maybe one can argue against the Taz, like the Taz himself wasn't even sure that he was right. Maybe one can argue that if I give it to the guy and I borrow it back from the guy, even for 20 years, it would be okay. But maybe we can make almost like what we call like a shtickle svake svaker. So it's like a double bounce. I have this kli in front of me, and I want to use it, and I absolutely can't tell. The table's going to break. So what do I do? According to half the poskim, just use it the way it is and forget Tefillas Kelim. Tefillas Kelim was never given for such a kli. And according to the Machmirim, maybe what we can do is we should give it to the goy and borrow it back from the goy. That way, at least according to, if the Taz is not right, I have another sniff loch, another tzadloch. That's what many poskim in the Zman Hazeh recommend. When you have a type of a kli, it's really going to be ruled. You're really, pretty certain, pretty confident it's not going to make it through the tefillah. So then a good eitzah would be is to give it to the goy as a gift, borrow it back from the goy, even though you're using it longer than the Taz was happy with, but we're not 100% sure we follow the Taz, and the tzirif, combined with the fact that we're not even 100% sure that the kli was chayv in tefillah in the first place, so if you put those two things together, it probably would be all right. So that's what many poskim recommend. That's the nice way we try to practice in our house, and we have every once in a while a kli that can't be tovel. There's always an issue. Oh, that's not right. That's another thing, right? That's another shot. Does that even work? If it's all one big kli, so can you tovel the non-electric part again? Yeah, so that's... Right, but that's better because they're separate from one another. The problem is when you have like an urn, so you can't take the urn apart. But what we actually try to do in terms of the urns, and some of the urns do break, depends on which ones, what we try to do, the urns are usually easy to attain. They have actually urns that are made by Jewish companies. They send them in big bold letters, Nasim Abaylus Yisrael V'Ein Tzorach Tevila. They were made by Jewish companies, and you buy them in a Jewish store, buy them in one of the Hamish stores, so then you, in effect, circumvent the Tefillas Kelim Lagamri. But there are other kinds of more sophisticated Kelim that are not necessarily made by Jewish companies. So the coffee stuff, the Keurig machines, so those were a big tumult a couple of years ago when they came out, but a big tumult in the contemporary poskim, what do you do with them? So most of the poskim are assuming that it's not practical to travel them. Apparently, a few people tried to tefill them. Most of them didn't have too much success. It ruined the computer chip inside or something. So to tefill those things is probably not such a good idea. So the question is, what do you do? Can you use them? So some poskim said, you can't use them. That's it. They're all awesome. You can't tefill them. You can't use them. Another said, nah, big deal. You can't tefill it. You can't tefill it. So then you're allowed to use it. Another came up the third possibility. The third possibility was, well, don't just use it just like that. Give it to a non-Jew and then borrow it back for the non-Jew. I see Henry smiling. Probably remember. You remember? It was Willie. Willie saved the day on this one. So when my wife bought one of these machines a couple of years ago, I'm looking at this machine, hemming and hawing, looking at this machine. And, I said, okay, what are we going to do? We're going to give it to the non-Jew as a gift. And that way, the tziruf, those who disagree with the Taz, and the tziruf, the mekilim, will be okay. And I'm going to give it to the non-Jew. So usually, if I want to give something to the non-Jew in the house to give it to, if the woman comes to help clean in the house, that's going to be a great idea. And my wife said, don't do that. If you're going to hand her this thing, she's going to walk away with it. She'll walk away with it, or she'll figure it's a freebie for her to use it as much as she wants. And my wife wasn't too thrilled about her using it without anybody watching over her. So I was thinking, scratching my head, I need a good, reliable non-Jew. It's someone who I can trust, who I can explain the social terror to, and make sure I give it back to me. So Baruch Hashem, Henry volunteered willing for this. Willie came over. Henry's people helped Henry out. So Willie came over one day, and I explained to him exactly what was going on. He knew exactly what I wanted. He said, no problem. And when he walked, I think it was a Friday, I knew that we were right on the same team. When he walked out, he wished me a good Shabbos. He's a good man. So tell him he made honorable mention to the Shia. And this was a few years ago. He still owns it. Because I'm still using it. So he still owns it. So tell him if he ever wants to come by to get a drink, we'll be happy to help make a cup of coffee. No, it's not a joke. It's like Mechir's comments. It's very, very serious. But I'm just explaining to him that I'm giving to you as a gift. It's totally, completely, monetarily yours. You know, I would love if you would let me continue to use it for the next 50 years. It would be real nice of you. I mean, we're trying to explain it to him in a way that it's technically binding, but it's not. Then it became a little bit more complicated as to how to make the kidney on this thing, because he had to actually come to the house. Because if he wouldn't have come to the house, that would have been on Kolovoka we're talking about. Yes, that's the Kolovoka, so you sleep it in Kesef and Mashiach. It got very complicated. So he came, and I gave it to Mamash as a Matana. He literally picked it up. So the Holodeus, almost the Holodeus, come in and shared Shalmash. There is one last Akuda that's relevant to this thing.
This small element of it, that it all static.
The problem, it depends whether that small element of metal touches the food. If it touches the food, that's problem. The problem with this machine is that it's the metal part that touches the food or whatever it is, the drink. So there's one last akuda relating to the sugya. When we speak about tefillas kelim, so there's almost a question to ask yourself, what is the nature of this issue of using kelim without tefillah? We've been working with the assumption that you can't use a kli before you tovel it. So that's agreed upon by just about everybody. There is misunderstanding out there that, well, you're allowed to use a kli one time before you tovel it. Absolutely no basis for that whatsoever. When the person called me last Thursday about the knife, so he presented with that. He said, Rebbe, is there anything about that you can use the kli once? So I responded, I said, can you eat chaza once? Can you recall Shabbos? It's only once. I didn't want to make him feel bad. There's no such kula. But this isser, so to speak, of using a kli without tevila, it's almost not an isser in and of itself. It's almost an isser that's linked to a mitzvah. Because there's a mitzvah, tevila kelim, mainly you're not allowed to use the kli. If that's the case, then maybe we have to raise the question whether all these eitzes, all these suggestions they're giving to the goy are really necessary. So there is a discussion, the seventh of the Maamar Kamos. Where we pick it up from Lachein Nira Lari. The third line, Lachein Nira Lari, the mitzvah's essay de tzitzis, Einu el lahatabot tzitzis, kishiyu b'shenu. There's a mitzvah if you have a four-cornered garment to put on tzitzis. V'lo amra kosa b'loshin lo silbash beget sheyesh lo dalak refayim b'lo tzitzis. The Torah doesn't say you're not allowed to wear a four-cornered beget with tzitzis. The Torah doesn't formulate it as an iser. The Torah formulates it as a mitzvah. If the Torah would have said it's also to wear a beget without tzitzis, the az vadaya did imo, then the din would have been, like the previous Rishon had said, that you're never ever allowed to wear a four-cornered garment without tzitzis. Ela mitzvah has a great lahatabot tzitzis. When we come back up, ain't a talis also lobosh. The gam ain't over. Kevin she ain't after yoch lahatabosh u Shabbos. He says if a person puts on a four-cornered garment on Shabbos without tzitzis, there's no bittul mitzvah tzitzis because it's not an issue to wear the beged. There's a mitzvah to put on strings, but I can't put. I'd love to put the strings on, but I can't because that's a malach on Shabbos to tie strings. So what the Rebbe just told us is that you have to be very careful when we speak about something being osur. You have to always ask yourself, is it objectively osur, or is it osur because I'm not doing positively what I'm supposed to be doing? If something is presented by the Torah, by the halacha as being a negative, don't do X, then I can't do X, no matter what. But the Torah never said don't do X. The Torah just said, if you're in a situation of such and such, do the following mitzvah, and I choose not to do the mitzvah, that's the problem. But if it's not that I chose not to do the mitzvah, I can't do the mitzvah. My hands are tied, so then there's no issur altogether. Oh, very good. That's exactly the point they're making. So, l'chora, if you would take this Mordechai to the logical conclusion, this is the Mordechai Maseches Menachos. If you would take this Mordechai to the logical conclusion and carry it over to Tefillas Kelim, then maybe you can avoid having to do all these stunts. Namely, it's Friday night. I'm about to make Kiddush on my Kiddush cup. It wasn't Teufel. What do you want me to do? I can't Teufel it. So there's nothing else about using it. So it's interesting that even though it's the Mordechai who said this svar by Tzitzis, some of my Tefillas Kelim didn't say it. Because the Mordechai could have easily have said, why bother giving it to the Goy? Just use it without Tefillah. And the Mordechai didn't say it. So not all mitzvahs are created equal. Not all mitzvahs are identical. While this svara, yes, he was willing to say by tzitzis, and somehow didn't carry over to the kim. It's just a ha'ara, just a point that I'm raising, that one could have theoretically come up with almost a better kula. Namely, if I can't toivel it because it's Shabbos, I can't toivel because it's no mix, I can't toivel because it's getting ready, whatever the reason is, so don't do anything. So then use it the way it is and finished. So the Mordechai didn't go that far. The Mordechai held back and said, I'll let you do the kun to play the stunt to give it to the guy and circumvent the mitzvah, but to just avoid the mitzvah entirely by saying, well, I can't do it, therefore I can use the kli. The Mordechai didn't go, even though, again, logically, one could have possibly come to that conclusion. The Chopin, getting back to the turkey carving the knife, so the bottom line is that the person was stuck on Thursday afternoon, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and he told me he was with his in-laws, and that already shown bias, that already mixed it. I said to him, Yesh lahakel, like the Ramah, that it's a mikvah, there's no mikvah around. And I asked him, how close is the closest mikvah? He said, I'm telling you, we're not getting to this mikvah. My in-laws are standing with the knife, they're about to carve the turkey, so it's either you tell me that it's mutter, or I don't know what's going to happen. So I said, Lafini is the idea, I think, when there's no mikvah, because there was no mikvah mamish nearby. So I said to him, it's mutter to use the knife. I said, but give it to the guy. So they were talking in a hotel. So he said he was going to run downstairs and give it to the manager of the hotel as a gift and then ask him to borrow it back. So then I think that under no circumstances, extenuating circumstances, that would be okay. Then after Thanksgiving weekend is over. What? If there was no guy based on buying Lumbisha for it, maybe I would have allowed it. But Lamai said, Shulchan Aruch doesn't allow it. Maybe once you come up with another race, there's no going around, maybe one can be mafkir the knife and use it. But in Shulchan Aruch, that doesn't say that. So that eitz somehow didn't make it to Shulchan Aruch. So that's the question, whether that eitz is a good eitz or not. But Baruch Hashem, there was a going around, we solved the problem, he enjoyed his turkey. I haven't heard from him since then, so I assume everything went well, or he's too angry at me to call me back, but something, or the guy took the knife and ran. But whatever happened, I can't tell you. That's the end of the show. Marshall, because cutting becomes chayev.
3 years old, the seventh, you can use it.
No, but Yochai, it's Yad Yisrael.